Hi, hello, hello, hi, and welcome to All Our Hearts and Minds. Thank you again for tuning in. We are here to discuss all things that have been on our hearts and minds. The good, the bad, the concerning and uplifting, or just straight talk. We're your hosts, Kimmy, our passionate heart.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's me, Jeanette, our mind and chronic overthinker.
Yeah.
Let's get into it.
Please.
All yes, right.
We're back again.
Back again with another episode. Yes, so we're recording end of March, March 30th. Our last episode went up late, but it's okay. We're coming back to you again quickly with this one this week. Before we jump into headlines, let's go to our checkup. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing a lot better this week. You know, recently
yes.
We had a loss in our family, and mm-hmm. So it's been a little difficult, but I'm choosing to be grateful every day, because every day you should be grateful. But you know, overall, I've just been putting that into practice this week, and it's nice that it's a short week for us here in Toronto, seeing that it is Easter long weekend, and I'm so happy that we have this little piece of time off. Like, trust me, it was needed. Well needed.
Yeah.
But
yes.
Overall, family is still good. We're still holding in there.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. So how about you, girl? What's popping? What's going on?
Well, first of all, condolences. I don't know if I said that last week.
Yes, you did. Yes,
I did. Okay, but now it's kind of you know, you've gone
mm-hmm.
through the funeral and moving on. It's tough. So
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
somebody's been through it. It's just time. It's just time and prayers and stuff like that. And I think you're going in the right direction. So yeah. So for me, I am doing better.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's been a long quarter. You know,
mm-hmm.
I do think in the business quarters, like I think like some, you know, depending what kind of job you have, I think most people, when you have a job and you're close to the financials,
mm-hmm.
you think about that. My first job in university was an investment company. I thought in quarters then too.
Yep.
So,
mm-hmm.
so this first quarter of the year is done and we're about to go into the second. And you know what? I didn't give myself much of a break. For work, and I had
mm-hmm.
a really intense quarter, so
mm-hmm.
I'm going on vacation, so I'm looking forward to that. Going to be in sunny Jacksonville, Florida.
Brilliant.
And get some vitamin D, like from the sunshine.
Right?
And yeah, so looking forward to that, and you know, just everything is in the past, and looking ahead for Q2 after my vacation. But otherwise,
yes.
mm-hmm. you know, I thank God. Oh, my mom turned 75, so
yes, big up, mommy.
She's
yes,
3/4 of a century. So you know, I'm appreciative that she's still here, because
yes.
you know, some people don't
big
make it
up,
to
mommy.
This age.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, all good. All right. So sounds like we're doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
By the grace of God, and that's all we can rely on, right?
Yeah,
and
that's
so,
it.
Yeah, before we jump into the headlines, I'll just do a quick reminder. Everybody listening, everybody in range of my voice, if you're liking what you're hearing,
mm-hmm.
if you're not liking what you're hearing, we ask that you rate, subscribe, star, like, download our podcast, wherever you consume
mm-hmm.
it, whether it is Apple Music, please comment and star and like and download. Or Spotify, please comment, like, star, or download. And YouTube and everything else in between. Because you can get our podcast everywhere. And I say everywhere, I mean everywhere.
Nice.
So wherever you consume it, like it, star it, engage with the podcast. It really helps us. So thanks
mm-hmm.
again for listening. And so now we will jump into the headlines.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a crazy couple of weeks. But we are focusing on some of the hot
yes.
topics that people have been chattering away with. And first,
mm-hmm.
before we get into the mess, we just want to acknowledge actor Louis Gossett Jr.
Yes.
who passed away recently at the age of 87. He is, you know, one of those distinguished older black actors.
Yep.
Every time, he was always an older actor every time by the time I saw him,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a kid. But one of the movies that I was reminded from his work and when I kind of went back and looked him up, is An Officer and a Gentleman. And that movie came out in 1982, but it's one of those movies where he actually won an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those movies where it used to come on TV a lot. So that's the only reason why I'm so familiar. Like, even when I, even if I don't, I didn't know the title, but when I went and looked it up, I'm like, I've seen that. I've seen Richard Gere and him being an asshole, like, commanding officer.
Yeah, yeah.
Stuff like that. So, but he's one of those actors who's done a lot of things, but his standout things were Officer and a Gentleman. He was also in Roots, that show from the, I think Roots was 70s or 80s, I think. He was in that. Yes, 1977 was Roots. He was in that. And he won an award for his part in that series. And most recently, actually, where I saw him and who's actually did a good job, he had a supporting role, was The Watchmen, which was a HBO show based on the same comic book. And Regina, he played Regina King's father or grandfather. I can't remember. One or the other.
I think it was her grandfather. But
did you watch that?
I did. I do remember it vaguely, but I could be wrong. But I think
no, you could be right. It would make more. He wasn't older. It might have been her grandfather. So yeah, which was most recently. And anyway, so they didn't disclose the actual cause of death, but he was diagnosed with prostate cancer in 2010. And it was detected early, so he was able to beat that. And he also, in the early, I was looking up on Wikipedia, in the mid-90s and early 2000s, he was very sick and actually was only given 6 months to live. And you know what it was? This is scary. They later found out that it was his illness was due to toxic mold in his house.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine? They literally gave him a death prognosis
because of
toxic mold. So, I mean, to me, when I hear them, like, how can people have mold and toxic mold and not know? Because mold has a scent.
Yeah, mold has and a smell. Very distinct scent, too. Like,
when a place is moldy, it's like, you know. Even if you can't see the mold, you can smell it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, some older houses, like, sometimes, I don't know. Depending on the house and how old it was, it might not... I don't know how.
Yeah, because imagine it's a house in Malibu. Maybe it's a big house, you know, and maybe he's not there. Yeah, and
parts of the house he didn't go to.
Yeah, but it was still in the vents and stuff.
Exactly. Because once mold, once mold gets its hands in your house, it's done. It's done. Yeah. Once it gets in the vents and through the airways and stuff like that. So,
he nearly died of that. But he had a long life, 87. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Amazing work, and RIP to him.
Yes. Yeah.
So we're going to move on to recently, I was talking to Kim about this.
Mm-hmm.
So Offset was on Club Shay Shay, and as people have been saying, Club Shay Shay is our new Wendy Williams. I'm not going to feed into that. No, but Club Shay Shay is where we get a lot of good, I would say, discussions with people in the culture, in hip-hop culture, black culture, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
We have, whether it's sports, whether it's hip music, whether it's...
Excuse me.
Comedy. Can't forget that.
Yeah.
Right? He's taken over in the comedy. So it's probably started with sports and the like, but it's quickly moved to comedy and art and musicians. And I've been enjoying it a lot because he may not be the interviewer people want. He ain't no Oprah, but he's still always a good discussion. And I feel like people enjoy speaking with him, and it's always good to see an interview
there is something about Shay Shay that people just want to talk.
Or is it the cognac?
Well,
not everybody drinks on
and sometimes they sip very little of it, so
yeah.
But that kind of speaks to your cognac, but anyway, I'm not even going to go there.
No, but that's a good point.
Yeah. But he does definitely allow people to talk. And so I think they take advantage of that. And sometimes, you know, they do say, like, if you let people talk, they will. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just sit back and let them speak, they will. And so that's what he's good at. And Club Shay Shay, yeah, I saw the other day, I think he 3 million. I think he has subscribers now.
Wow.
And I want to credit that to Cat Williams.
Cat Williams, come on, we know.
bust down the door for everybody on Club Shay Shay, because now it seems like Club Shay Shay is a hot commodity. Everybody wants to go on
Club Shay Shay.
Club Shay Shay's program. And I like it. And I, you know what? He is very kind of, you know, really innocent. I don't want to say
no,
innocent,
I know what you're saying. He's like very like, no, but I know what you mean. It's like
he's lighthearted and kind of that Southern hospitality.
The kinda, jovial. You know,
yeah, very much so. And so I think, you know, sometimes people just need that.
Yeah, and I think the Southern thing kind of helped with the interview that he did with Offset. So with Offset, I left that interview. It wasn't too long. It wasn't a 3-hour interview. I think it was about just over an hour and 20 minutes or something like that. But I think what I appreciated from Offset's interview with Shannon Sharp was I like that, you know, it seems like Offset is committed to upping his artistry levels as a solo artist.
Yeah.
He's taking it very serious. He wants to be like some of his, I guess, I don't want to use the word idol, but people he aspires to be, like Michael Jackson. He talked about Beyonce, as you know, you know, respecting Beyonce and all the greats on stage. So it's like, we know it's easy. And I like that he kind of hinted at that. Like, this music thing, you could do this music thing. That's like, you know, that's easy, but the performance element now, that's where hip hop is lacking, you know, and I'm glad that he acknowledged that.
Yes. And that he is, you know,
he wants to fill that gap.
Excel. He's trying to excel in his craft. And I can appreciate that. I didn't watch the entire thing.
No, it's okay.
I'll be honest. But, you know, Offset is actually kind of cute. I didn't even think about it because, you know what,
What did I tell you yesterday?
I never really heard him speak. I
was
like,
Offset was, something was Offset.
Something was given. No, but
I think it's immaturity.
I think, you know what, I never really heard him speak outside of rapping, to be honest. Like, I didn't really hear him in an interview. And he sounds quite intelligent, actually. And he has a lot of big goals for himself, and he was very candid and at times vulnerable. And I was like, that's a nice side to see of him, because to be quite honest, outside of the Amigos, the three Amigos, like, I didn't really pay attention to him per se. Like, and then when he got with Cardi, it was like, okay, well,
the relationship drama.
Use Cardi's man. Use Cardi's man. So, you know what I mean? But it was nice to hear him speak. It was nice to hear him talk so highly of the greats. You know, he's like, I follow the greats. Like, I follow after them. And he truly aspires to be something great. And I think he'll achieve it. I think he will.
I think he will.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. I think a couple things that I was just going to call out before we move on that I, so outside of the maturity and his aspirations to be a top hip hop performer and entertainer, he also, mentioned the music business and kind of like the issue with TikTok and streaming and, you know, very knowledge. And he's probably had to learn this since he's been trying to move away and make sure, set his business up right, which is another thing he brought up, is like, you know, I want to set my business up right where I am not, you know, at the disadvantage and I'm making money. I have 5 kids. I want to build wealth for my family. And all these things, I think, all come down to maturity, like we just said. So, and another thing I kind of liked, and maybe he, excuse me, requested this, was they didn't focus on the drama and negativity of his and around his relationship with Cardi. And maybe that was a request where that didn't come up too obviously, but I kind of like that they didn't go into that.
Right. Yeah, I was waiting for... Because Shay Shay could be messy at times.
He could be messy, and I think that's why I feel like they requested. That's why I feel like the only reason they didn't tiptoe around that is that there was like probably a caveat in him doing the interview, and that we're not gonna. I think the only mention of Cardi B has to do with a comment that Joe Budden made about female hip hop. And I think it was not necessarily the relationship, but more like the Joe, you know, some as drama
performers, yeah, mm-hmm.
as performers, which again kept it on the business side. So, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. what? I actually appreciated that. We hear enough about their relationship in social media anyway. Kudos to Offset and good luck on his tour.
Yeah.
Okay, next is a big one. Whew. This Nickelodeon documentary. Ooh, I did not. It's called Quiet on the Set. I did not watch it, and I don't plan to watch it.
Nope, me too.
Because, I mean, I saw the trailer like a few weeks, like a little bit, I don't know, about a month ago before it was. And I already knew I don't want to watch it because I'm going to say something very cynical. I hate to say it, but my assumption in kids who work in the entertainment business is that a good, like an uncomfortable percentage of them are most likely in appropriate situations with adults. That's like right off the bat. I'm just going to say right off the bat, 30% minimum.
Yeah.
Right off the bat.
Yeah. I would have said 40.
40, yeah, like, you know what I mean? I don't want to sound...
when you look at all the child stars that are from the past, right?
They like, all have stories.
All have stories, and some of them, like, never recovered. You know what I mean?
But here's the consistent theme, whether we're talking about the ones that we've heard about who have, you know, already from older generations, and the ones that I'm kind of hearing from the headlines and the articles that have since come out, since this Quiet on the Set came out, is I'm going to say it and we have to acknowledge it. And I think it's a number one thing is parent neglect.
Yeah.
Parental neglect. Even
well,
with the,
yeah, and pimping. These parents are pimping out these kids. Straight goods. Let's keep it a buck. A lot of the times, you know, it's parents that want to trick off on their kids. Like they want the life, they want the fame, they want the money, and they use their children to do so. And a lot of them end up stealing from their children, as we can see in the past as well. A lot of child stars have had to, you know, pretty much like divorce their parents and become their own, you know, independent guardian.
Well, I have something about that. There was a, I heard a podcaster talking about some of the main kind of plot lines in the documentary. And one of the things that Schneider guy, the head guy who he didn't, I would say the trailer is a little bit misleading because it makes it seem like the head guy was kind of like the one doing like the pedophilic stuff, but it's not like directly to the kids, but there's some weird things happening for sure. Like gross in terms of the content and some of the things that the kids are doing, where they had a lot of innuendo, but him himself didn't, like, or at least that we know of, based on this documentary, like, you know, touch any of the kids or whatever. Not that it says much, but yeah, to your point, is he encouraged some of these kids, like, say, Amanda Bynes one of them, to emancipate from her parents.
That's right.
If a parent is protecting, what I think another theme is with these predators, is if a parent was involved, so you see there's parental neglect, or like you said, people pimping out their kids, which definitely was going on. But then you also have the adults at the company encouraging.
That's right.
And wanting control of some of the talent.
Yeah.
And telling, like, okay, so example, they encourage Amanda Bynes to emancipate from her parents.
Yeah, look at her now.
Right? Ooh, yeah. So
scary. Very scary. Because she, it's like she fell from grace so
She was
hard.
So talented.
Yeah,
she was really talented. She could have been, I don't know, it's not going to be a good example, but I think in terms of, if we think about, the redheaded girl, Lindsay Lohan, she went down too. I think Lindsay Lohan kind of had a similar trajectory of a child star as well.
A lot younger for Lindsay as well, too.
Exactly, right? But yeah. I think with Lindsay still kind of did. Lindsay did had a good run before she kind of fell apart. Like, you know what I mean? Lindsay did at least 5 or 6 movies between being an actress into being a young adult before she kind of fully fell apart, right?
That's right, yeah.
But then Amanda Bynes, I think, only did, like, she did her show. I think she did one movie as a teenager.
No, I think she did 2 movies. One where she played, like,
the soccer player.
The soccer player. And there was another one It was like almost a Cinderella type of remake. But she had a promising career, to be quite honest. She had a
very promising career, you know? And then, you know, we saw what happened. She was led very much astray.
You know?
And so that has come out. And so, yes. So here's like the key thing. So I talked about Amanda Bynes mm-hmm. and being coerced into emancipating from her parents. The Drake Bell character, everybody's talking about Drake Bell.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the show he's on, but he was a young man who was big on one of the Nickelodeon shows. And he sounds like he got it the worst in terms of the most severe, like every nasty thing a pedophile can do looks like it happened to him.
Yeah.
And it's sad because person who was abusing him was kind of like a guy, like he was like an acting coach or a guy who kind of brought people on set. Like I would call him a production assistant, but supposedly he did acting coaching as well.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty much Drake Bell's father was, you know, very involved. He was his manager. He was on set and he saw certain things as the same man. He was like, what are you doing? Like, why you don't need to dress him. He can dress himself, like just doing inappropriate things. And the dad was involved. And eventually this predator drove a wedge between Drake Bell and his father, who was very involved in protecting his mm-hmm. son. And he was on set and he was there. Like, you know, he actually did have a watchdog.
Right.
A real active parent protecting their child, right?
Mm-hmm.
And again, this person drove a wedge in saying, oh, people on set don't like your dad. He's holding you back. You're not getting roles because of your dad, blah, 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 blah. So he drove a wedge between him and the dad. And then around that time, the parents got a divorce. So mm-hmm. because the parents got a divorce and the dad kind of lived closer to set, but after the divorce and all this, you know, feeding nonsense and negativity from his predator, Drake Bell went and lived with his mother. His mother was not as involved in his acting life. So, and she lived like an hour and a half away from where they usually did the filming and auditions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so this predator now finds his opportunity and starts, okay, don't worry, I'll pick him up and drop him off. Oh, it's an hour and a half, he has to sleep over. Yeah, hour and a half, he has to sleep over, blah, 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 blah. And now your son is, like, getting every which way up type of pedophilic molestation, right?
Jesus.
And so it wasn't until, here's how the bad kid came out, which was interesting. And again, the parental neglect is what really... It's like, I almost feel like the neglect from a parent, like, is just as bad almost as the predator. I hate to say it because it's like, who, like, just like I told you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why would I let my son sleep over this man's, who is this man?
That's what I'm trying to say. And so this is straight pimping. Like, and when, you know, the shit hits the fan, obviously the parents want to, you know, distance themselves from having any responsibility. And, you can see that time and time again, it's a very subtle action that you as a parent are uncomfortable with. So why would you return? Why would you come back? It's because you want the fame. You want the child mm-hmm. to have the money. You want,
yep.
Because if, let me tell you something. If I see anybody trying to dress my child, there's a feeling in a parent that instinctively is to protect,
mm-hmm.
right? So, the fact that he was there and he was the watchdog and he was saying, mm-hmm. hey, he can dress himself. We ain't mm-hmm. coming back.
Mm.
We ain't coming back. Okay? Mm. Because my soul didn't sit well with that. You know what I'm saying? And so, no, I'm not leaving you alone. No, we're not going back. No, it's not that serious. You know what I mean? No, I don't need for you to provide for our entire family. No. Don't put your child in a situation, right, where they can be abused. That's what I'm trying to say. As a parent, it's your responsibility that if you feel uncomfortable about something, why would you even return? Why is it that important? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's, listen, they can make their movie. Go get some other kid.
Or yeah. Another alternative, I think, and that would have even broader impact is... Go to the higher, like, I know it's all a machine. Like you said, everybody's in, everybody's almost kind of in cahoots.
Yeah, right down to the parents.
But another thing is, you'll be loud. Be like, why be loud and go to everybody and every parent on set and every manager on set and be like, why is this guy like dressing the kids? These are not like 2 year olds. And even if they were 2 year olds, like this is like their parents.
If it doesn't feel right, it isn't. If it doesn't feel right for your child, it's not.
Yeah, it isn't. So that's what I'm saying. He should have made noise. He was observing this himself.
Well, and being I think the loudest noise that you could make is never to return.
Yeah, but then what about everybody else that's still there? You know what I mean? Like,
sorry. The way that I see some of these child star actors, what happened to them? And that a lot of them never bounce back. A lot of them are cracked out. A lot of them.
So what I'm saying is, like, yes, take your kid, but also make noise.
No, yes, yes, no, of course. You don't just take your kid and run. No, obviously, I'm gonna kick down the door, and everybody, I'm bringing the news. I'm going to social media. Yeah, of course, I'm gonna make a lot of noise. And I think the loudest noise that I can make is to also leave.
Yeah.
Right. I need to leave. Because why would I stop the role? People are going to wonder. People are going to speculate. And along with me kicking down the door and bringing the news if I have to bring them to the set, I would.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I just feel like a lot of people, I don't want to put it all on the parents. I think that the parents are the fund, like they're the foundation.
Yeah.
And that they should protect their child over anything. However, these pedophiles, and what I've realized with Hollywood is, abused people abuse people. Because this person, particularly the one that was dressing the little boy, where did he get that from? Like, I feel like it there's a foundation to it. Like, that guy who was, you know, the stagehand or the production assistant or whatever, he might have been abused. And now he's abusing others.
He was caught, like, so, because he was the most egregious one, if you ask me. There's another story with a young lady where the person, I think he was the speech coach or something like that, where he was talking to a 10-year-old girl, and the mom came on, and I appreciate the mom acknowledging her stupidity, and that's in that, so she was an acting coach, and he asked for the young lady's email. So she didn't think there was anything wrong. First red flag, but she didn't think there was anything wrong with the grown acting coach or whatever emailing her daughter back and forth. She thought that was
I don't know how.
Like and so she did feel dumb. She's like, you know, I felt like, you know, at the time I didn't think it any harm, but so eventually one time the little girl slams down her laptop and runs into her room crying, and the mom is like, what the heck, and goes to ask her what is the problem, and the girl said the man sent her a photo of himself naked, maybe touching himself, I can't remember, saying that he's thinking of her. How could he be so bold to send a 10-year-old that?
Well,
and think that
almost like the mother gave the approval, though.
But because the mother said,
because you're not you want to contact her? No problem. I'll give you an email address. I'm gonna give you
mine.
I'm gonna give you mine. Here's my email address. Okay, yeah, you can connect with me. I'm her manager. You don't go through her. You don't talk to her. You talk to me. So I understand that there might be situations that are innocent. But you should be very skeptical to leave your child with anybody. You know, you should be skeptical of what your child is ingesting, what they're taking in, who's emailing them. I don't know. I come from the old school year where my mother knew everybody. She knew their mother. She knew what school the child went to, what grade they were in, what's their name, how old they are. She knew the full 411. My mom was in the parent council right through high school, so she knew things before I even knew them. And so you have to take an active role in your child's life, and I think that Nickelodeon is showing that a lot of parents didn't, and there were some parents
that were blinded by the fame or potential fame.
That's what I'm saying. How could you not see that? How could you think that's innocent, that a grown man wants to communicate with your child by themselves? Why? You go through me. just like how you would set up a play date, you go through the parents, right? So why would you, like, I just, you know, but anyway, I think that this year, boy, it's the year of truth, because everything is coming out and exposed. And I feel like more and more of my childhood is just tainted now. Because it's like with Nickelodeon, I used to watch Nickelodeon at one point when I was younger. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying? And so it's just to know what was all going on behind the scenes that we as the consumer didn't really understand, that these young child stars were literally giving their lives and their souls you know.
So what I was going to say is, okay, so the show that the young man was on was Drake and Josh. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, we know of iCarly. There's a show called Victorious. All That was another one where I think Keenan and Kel were on that too. That was like their sketch comedy show. Mm-hmm. The Amanda Show, which Amanda Bynes, and then Keenan and Kel. Mm-hmm. So these are some of the big productions. And recently, as we close out this section, Keenan Thompson of Good Burger and Keenan and Kel, recently he's promoting his book. Mm-hmm. And he was on Tamron Hall. And Tamron touched on it with Keenan. And of course, Keenan, you know, sensitive, I guess, for him because it's his friends. And and for him, he says, quote, "It's a tough subject. It's tough for me because I can't really speak on things that I never witnessed. All these things happened after I left, basically. Dan wasn't really on Keenan and Kel. Dan Schneider wasn't really on Keenan and Kel like that. He got created by credit, but it was a different showrunner." So right off the bat, I see this as he's distancing himself from all of this. And it could very well be true in that, yeah, this was a generation slightly younger than him that, you know, this documentary is heavily featuring, right? But it doesn't mean it didn't happen, or he's very sensitive. And even in his book, he dedicates a page to Amanda Bynes in that, you know, from afar, he always admired her and saw that the whole world saw what Amanda Bynes kind of, her fall from grace, I guess. I don't know what you would call it, but, you know, and he was very emotional. I think most of that interview, it almost seemed like he wanted to cry. So that's why I'm wondering, and I shouldn't put that on anybody. And he could just be very well touched and be like, wow, that could have been me. Or like, these are people I knew. And like, they went through something so traumatic by people who we're supposed to trust and who's supposed to help us. Right.
Right.
And I don't know, but it clearly affected him a lot. And I mean, he's a human being, so, you know, not that he shouldn't be emotional, but I don't know. I just felt like there was something there, and maybe I'm reading more into it, but I'm going to say, you know, prayers up to these kids, but
yes.
I'm looking at the signs. Ignore the signs. And I feel sorry. Don't get me wrong. I think some of them, you could honestly be naive, but like the woman I told you about the computer, she didn't say anything because she was embarrassed.
Yeah.
She was embarrassed because, oh my God, people are going to think, like, she, it wasn't until after this happened, she saw the stupidity of giving that man direct access, email access to her child.
Yeah.
And she was so embarrassed that people were going to call her a bad parent that she didn't report the person. And it wasn't until the person got caught with other incidences that she went to court to testify.
Wow. Against.
So she didn't advocate for her own daughter. It wasn't until a case actually came from another incident. He was doing this already, with the young girls, and before that man got charged. And I can tell you right now, even the most egregious case, like with Drake Bell, where it eventually came out that what was going on, the guy only got 16 months, and he fully molested, did everything to this boy.
Jesus.
Yeah. So, parents, I don't know. Prayers that protect the young ones, man.
Right?
And all things that happen in dark shall come into light.
That's right.
And those who've done these things to ruin people's lives, they'll face their retribution.
Yeah, they will face the wrath. Don't you worry. Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah.
So that was quite on the set. Yeah, me personally, I don't want to watch it.
No.
I don't want to watch something where I know. Because what is the good... What is the... You know, we talk about we want to end on a good note?
Mm-hmm.
The good note, what is like, yeah, we're exposing them, but you guys are exposing them. I think this is 20 years too late.
Thank you.
That's what bothers me. It's like, yes, it's out and they're doing that. But what my hope is, as we're doing this, that parents, maybe the parents that are naive and not actually pimping their kids out, the parents who think people have the best interest for their kids, you be vigilant with anybody who has their child in entertainment or any type of thing where other adults are involved in their lives outside of home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be vigilant and be on guard for your child. Because your child doesn't have sense enough to know what's going on and tell you, to tell you anything.
Exactly. So, aware. Be aware. Mm. Be aware of your surroundings, of the people around you. You know, the inappropriateness. Don't just shrug it off. Like, yes, it's please. Important to pay attention to it because it leads to other things. Like this example. It was just an email address.
Yeah, so sad.
You know?
So, yeah, we'll move on. Prayers up to the kids from those shows and the young people who are now adults. And, you know, I'm thinking of Amanda Bynes. She recently made an announcement that she's getting her license, I think, as an esthetician, as a nail tech. And, you know, if that's where she finds her peace and, you know, worth, we have to work to have worth, right? And if that's what she's working towards to have a living for herself, kudos to her.
And my question is, where's the hell her money? Where's her money?
You know, the people, parents thief off her money.
You see it? Okay. Mm-hmm.
So we'll move on to our next story, which is about social media personality and stand-up comedian and sometimes actress Amanda Seals.
Yeah.
Your Grenadian cousin.
Yeah.
And so she last week she made a video on her Instagram page.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I can play it here, but essentially she talks about she goes onto social media saying that she's appreciative of her followers on Instagram and social media, but she doesn't feel recognized within Black spaces in the entertainment industry.
Mm-hmm.
She goes on to say that she has not been invited to the Essence Black Women in Hollywood Awards, the NAACP Image Awards that were on recently. Mm-hmm. And the BET Awards. The BET one was like, whoa, for me, because she hosted the BET Awards online and Zoom from her home, I believe in 2020, when we were on lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, since hosting that show, she has not been invited to any BET Awards.
Can you imagine?
And I was like, ouch. Like, I mean, even if... So, you know, a lot of... And the backlash kind of came... And, you know, and she kind of finished that video saying, you know, go where you're loved. And it's making me think, do I need to pivot, like, from the entertainment industry, right? And so that's kind of, like, the tone of the video. And I think following that, a lot of people obviously were trying to encourage her and stuff like that. But there's also people who kind of came back and are like, girl, like, you have to blame yourself, because I think it's crazy. I think even Essence was positive on the post, but then somebody from Essence wrote an op-ed, editorial opinion on why this might be the case with Amanda, and it's essentially saying it was actually pretty crazy that Essence posted this because they were so, you know, they were sympathetic to her.
Mm-hmm.
On, like...
her plight with the industry.
They were sympathetic to her in the post.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, then they go and do an op-ed. I mean, whoever runs a social media could be different than who. This is an op-ed, so that means it's an independent person who wrote it. And the headline of that from Essence was, it's time to admit that it being liked is more important than being good at your job. And big, big picture of Amanda Seales in the, at the top of the page. I was like, God.
Yep.
And okay, so let's say, like, yes, Amanda is a very polarizing figure. There, you know, because she's very vocal, she's very opinionated, she's very sharp the way she speaks, and she's been described as a mean girl by folks. And I think we, I don't know if we talked about this, but remember back when she was on Insecure, and there was an incident when she was at an Emmy Award, and they were having a black party, I think, or a lot of the black people or actors and stuff in the industry were there. And she was invited by somebody who was at the party. She wasn't officially invited, but she's like, somebody told her to come through, and she didn't think it was going to be an issue because the year before she came through, no problem.
Right.
And she got pretty much kicked out of the party because the person who was Issa Rae, one of the people who were, like, I guess, involved in the planning was Issa Rae's publicist. And Issa Rae's publicist does not like Amanda.
Right.
And basically, long story short, can you imagine the embarrassment? Like, she got kicked out of the party where most of her castmates were at. That
she didn't, but she got escorted out.
She got, it was pretty wild. And she was brave to come online even tell that story, but the story was probably going to come out anyway.
Yeah.
But, and so, and I'm trying to think how I feel about this. I think, again, I do feel at the very least, damn, BT, she hosted the show one day. Give her at least one invite.
Like, right? You know what I mean?
At least one invite. Like, find the Hollywood circles. But this is, says the Hollywood circles don't really F with you. They don't mess with you. No.
She's too, you know what? To be in Hollywood, you have to be agreeable. And she's not. You know? And I like Amanda Seales because she is very much, she goes against the grain.
We need people like that.
I totally appreciate that because that's real. You know, not everybody is going to agree. Not everybody is going to fall in line. And she's one that does not fall in line. And she speaks up on Black issues. And to be quite honest, she's very much an activist for the Black community.
Yes.
And
yep.
What's sad is that she's not being upheld by the Black community because she's not liked. And at times, she's very contrary. She's very contrary on a lot of things. And so sometimes, you know, I know, don't get this wrong. Don't get this wrong. But you have to go along to get along sometimes. You know what I mean? If you want to explore this acting, I'm not saying that you should be used and abused and dashed away. But in the same breath, I feel like she's very contrary and very vocal to the point where sometimes it's like, okay, it's not, you don't have to protest today. Okay. You didn't like the muffins. You thought we shouldn't have black muffins or chocolate muffins, whatever. Like, there's, you have to fight your battles. You know what I mean? Choose your battles wisely. And I think that sometimes Amanda doesn't, you know, she's at times very crass and very, like, in your face. And so not a lot of people, you know, can deal with that, you know. And so we see in the industry, I think you should pivot. I think what you should do is focus on what you really are passionate about. And that is being an activist for the Black community, even though said community, okay, is not accepting you into these different spaces. And I understand that, you know, I would be definitely kind of devastated that not only did I, you know, host BET during the pandemic in my house, but you can't give me no damn invitation. You have never invited me back since.
Right. So, at least it look, doesn't look so bad. That's all I'm saying. Like, I maybe, you know what I mean?
But that seems to be a lot of the reception that people are getting from her.
Yes, and I was going to read, okay. Right?
So there must be, like, not everybody's wrong. You know what I'm saying?
No, there's clearly,
there's a commonality here, and that is that you're very crass at times. Like, you're very, you know, too in your face. Like, there's sometimes a softer way to deliver the same message, you know? And sometimes you have to be out there and stuff, but I'm seeing a pattern here, Amanda, and that is, that a lot of people don't want to mess with you, and why?
Yes, and even me, I would have to say, following this, like, again, I know all these things that you've described to be true about her, but I still would hope I would still would think there's some people who believe, like, appreciate the mouthpiece that she is, right? That will still kind of, you know, kind of hold her down. Like, say Charlamagne, I know he tries, you know, I think I know he holds her down. But I, but let's just say it was an eye opener for me, but I think hopefully it seems like it was an eye opener for her as well.
Yeah.
And her follow up post, she turned off the comments and put it on her Patreon, but she said, you know, she came back and said, like, all these things, and maybe it's time to look. I think, you know, she, it was so resounding that even she herself needs to internalize kind of the feedback, right? I don't know what that post, what she says in her Patreon, but I do hope there's some, at least 20% acceptance of the fact that you know you rub people the wrong way, but it's like
a lot of people, bro.
It now seems like it's too many people.
Yeah, clearly.
There's nobody,
like, you're blackballing yourself.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying. And here's the thing, though. I want to mention this before we go off of this topic. You see, as a black woman, here's the catch 22. You're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. So I choose to stand with Amanda because she does speak so highly of the black community. And she is one of the pillars, to be quite honest, in this day and age that tries to uphold the black community.
She calls out the bullshit.
She really does. Like, to be quite honest, I'll give her a whole buck for that. However, Amanda, sometimes the delivery. The delivery. I think that's where you need to perfect that, is the delivery. Because there have been people before you who have done the same thing you're doing and have had long longevity in the business. Okay? And so, like Viola Davis, I always refer to her because she speaks the same for the black community, yet, you know, she's still in Hollywood and she's still able to act and you know, her craft and develop her craft and stuff. And so I can appreciate, you know, that Amanda has this opinion and she's trying to protect us as black people. However, it's the delivery, Amanda, and you might want to reevaluate the delivery. That's all I'm saying, because sometimes you're not always going to rub people the right way, but it seems like you've rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. That's what it seems like.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to read.
Yeah.
So a couple, before we move on, in which maybe this is what she's been sitting with. So there's a tweet here from Josh You Trippin'. I hate when people like Amanda Seales that live their lives as provocateurs, rubbing people the wrong way, start acting surprised that people don't rock with them. You're annoying and no one wants to be around you. Don't blame black spaces for your black, sorry, for your bad personality. Ooh.
Wow.
There's some people on her side can't believe the NAACP didn't invite Amanda, but invited abusers. Point was made. And so from the op-ed from Essence was written by, I have to read it because I was like, Jasmine Broly. And what they said, it says, there are a lot of traits Amanda Seales' name conjures up when I hear it. The aforementioned adjectives that define likability don't make the cut. Yikes.
Mm-mm.
Using her sizable digital platforms, Seales consistently provokes uncomfortable yet necessary discourse about everything from the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, misogynoir, racism, colorism, gender identity, and foreign policy, to more personal topics like dating fuckboys and navigating the tricky industry social circles. But in her captivating storytelling, she has almost become a professional polarizer. Remember, people, I use that word, polarizing figure. For instance, during her engaging interview in the 2019 at the Breakfast Club, Seales reshared an experience she had with an unnamed man that she initially spoke about on a podcast and implied that the man had predatory behavior. We know that story. I know that story. But anyway, Seales is clearly influential, but she herself has said she isn't liked by certain industry gatekeepers, and clearly she noticed its effect on certain professional milestones. So I'm going to stop there, because I think that's kind of what we've all explained, but it's kind of biting. It's like a professional, it's not an attack on her, but it's kind of like, you know, when like just like me, say you're like, I'm talking to you and I'm venting a grievance that mm-hmm. I'm having with you, and you just, and you listen like a good friend, as a good friend would, but you stop me and you hit me with some straight facts on my behavior that maybe I didn't notice or I'm unconscious of, and I'm going to have to sit there with that. Yeah. And I think this article does that. Again, it's not trying to slam her, but right. it's just pointing out facts, and I hope, excuse me, and it seems that Amanda is sitting with that right now. Yeah.
Well, you know what? I think you will be okay with whatever you put your mind to, Amanda. But you do have to consider, you know, sometimes as the messenger, how to deliver the message appropriately and where people will hear you, you know? So, like, I get it. But I think maybe it is time for her to pivot and do something else. Maybe along the lines of activism. How about, you know, that?
Yeah.
You know, stay in that space.
Or even her stand-up. I think she's actually a solid stand-up comedian. I think she's a better comedian than an actress, to be honest.
We'll see.
Mm-hmm. And she does stand-up, and I think she should just dedicate her time in... and doing building that. You could be an activist and a, you know what I mean? It's a somewhere where she could still be an activist and her and work on her craft, right? Just like when she's hosting the TV show or her podcast, it's something that you could still be an activist but still work, you know what I mean? Still make money and be lucrative and share your message. So I do think she should focus on those things versus acting or
exactly
not to say that she shouldn't act, but I just mean, like, if you feel like there's a pushback and you're now, you don't want to drain your soul pushing against the machine,
right?
Like, if you can mend those, if you're willing to work on yourself and mend certain relationships, then that's one journey. But if you still are holding true to whatever it is that you feel you need to, or you feel you're standing true to, then, you know, focus on the craft where you have control over your destiny.
That's right.
And it doesn't matter whether people are like, whether random people in the industry like you.
Exactly.
Your fans like you. Your fans are going to see you do stand up.
Exactly.
Your fans are going to listen to your podcast or whatever else. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly.
So, yeah, she'll be all right.
Yeah,
all right.
I think so.
We'll move on until the trial. Boy, this Baltimore crash,
Right?
In Baltimore, into the Baltimore Bridge, a shipping boat hit the bridge, and London Bridges came falling down, boy.
Sure did. It was
very tragic. A giant container ship struck the bridge in Baltimore earlier this week, and it collapsed the whole structure, sending construction workers into water. There was some vehicles, not a lot of, it could have been more vehicles, but some vehicles were also... you know,
that fell into the water. Six people died.
Yeah, they said 6 people have passed away. And considering that was a whole bridge,
right?
That number is not as high as it could have. You know what I mean?
It could have been a lot higher.
It could have been worse. It's bad that anybody died, but it was the Singapore ship. It was a Singapore cargo ship that hit the bridge. It is 980 feet long and 150 feet wide, it says.
Wow.
And it had 22 crew members who are based in India.
Wow. It's gigantic.
Yeah, they said the ship is massive. And the cargo was packed of cargo.
Yeah, to the brim. To the brim. It was, well, prayers up to all those people, you know, that... Mm-hmm. lost their lives, and all the people that experienced that traumatic scene, you know, just being on the bridge, even if you were able to make it out of there alive, to just be a part of that really traumatic experience, and prayers up to them. And to be quite honest, I don't know how the hell the whole damn bridge fell down.
That's what was concerning.
The whole damn bridge fell down.
I would feel like the side, you know, from the video I saw, it's not like the boat was in the middle of underneath the bridge.
Right.
It was like on one side of the bridge where it hit, but then it hit and like the whole thing came down. Like, as somebody at basic, you know, architectural, listen, I don't know a thing about architectural, but I know the purpose of architectural design is balance and sustaining weight and like like shapes and stuff to make sure that a structure is solid when it is hit. Whether right? it's a standing structure like a building or a bridge. Like the main goal that architecture and engineers are trying to do is to make sure we have a sturdy structure.
Right.
And a sturdy structure would be the area where the boat hit. Yeah, that's gonna right? be kind of fucked up. But like at least and the bridge is probably gonna be generally messed up either way, but at least one side of the bridge that didn't have yeah, impact right? would have been okay. But the whole looks like
damn thing it came down. I was like, wow. I mean, I understand that, you know, a lot of the states, their infrastructure is quite old.
Oh, you know, well, here's a reason why there was minimal, fatalities of people being on the bridge or cars. They said when the ship lost propulsion as it was leaving the port and warned Maryland officials of a possible collision. Because they lost, it looks like propulsion means probably power to push the boat. Mm-hmm. So the crew notified officials that they lost control and traffic was stopped onto the bridge. So it looks like they knew, so they were stopping. So there was somebody went and stopped traffic. So maybe that's why there's only a couple of two or three cars, right. I think.
Yeah. Because the way that whole damn bridge came down, I was like, Lord Jesus. If there were people on that, if there were more people on that, they're all in the water right now. They're dead. Well, they're done.
Well they would have been. Yeah, more fatalities because I, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're investigating kind of what's going on and keeping like the shipping. Well, we don't care about the shipping. We want to make sure that, you know, the people's families and stuff, and they figure out kind of like what to avoid that in terms of the boat, like whatever mm-hmm. that is. And now the bridge is gone, so they're going to have to reconstruct it. But the bridge designers need to investigate, like, why the heck did this whole bridge come right? down? Like, damn.
And so, and when you see, there's a video that I saw yeah. on YouTube that was slow motion, kind of on how the bridge was coming into contact with the bridge. How the boat was coming in contact with the bridge. And I was just like, brethren, that looked like a tin can crushing, just coming down so easy, quick, easy.
Yeah, like, that's what was startling to me.
I was just like, wow, okay. I am glad that, you know, they were able to avoid other people from being hurt, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to look into our infrastructure, Baltimore. We need to look.
Yeah, we need to look.
We need to look and do some, you know, surveying of these bridges that you have about the place and stuff, because it literally looked like it crinkled like a can. Like the bridge itself, like it yeah. looked like it was just like it's not steel that's up there, you know what I mean? Like it just seems so flimsy. But prayers up to Baltimore, because that's going to take a hefty budget to that will come out of your, you know, your state. And so, I don't know. Yeah. That it looks scary, man. I was like,
it looked really scary.
And so also now all the cargo that's on there.
Yes, right? The cargo's like stuck.
And so it's going to back up, you know, the rest of the area getting what they need. So, prayers up for Baltimore right now, boy. They're going to need it, boy. Because that ship right there, that huge-ass ship that was packed to the damn brim. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's what I was, like, wondering. I was like, was this ship overpacked? Is that, like, nobody said like that? It. But to me, it looked kind of overpacked to me. Like it.
I mean, I'm no expert on shipping and stuff, but
shoot. So, right? So, okay. We're going to move into our big story
this
week, into our first segment. We're going to be doing music news in our next episode, and we'll talk about Cowboy Carter, of course, and I want to talk about Schoolboy Q. I've been waiting to talk about that as well, but that's next episode. So, yeah, so we're going to go into our first and only segment today.
Yes.
Which is A Lot of Mercy. In this segment, we talk about the kind of news that we feel the Lord might need to take the wheel.
Yes.
You read it or you hear it, and all you can say is a lot of mercy.
Jesus.
And this week, of course, we're talking about the biggest celebrity news
right?
this week. And that has to do with Mr. Sean Diddy Combs.
Done did it, Combs. Done did it. Ridiculous.
Diddy did it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, we left love and we're back to Diddy because love,
nah,
this ain't no love. And so, okay, so this week, the big headline was Diddy's home was raided by Homeland Security Investigations. And Homeland Security Investigation is a federal bureau. So that's why people kept on talking about the feds. It's not the FBI, but it is a federal, I guess, unit that is investigating. And obviously they'd have to be, you know, the way they kind of swooped in, they probably had to have that kind of federal power to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so allegedly, so what is saying, what has come out is that he, because from, even for me, I think this came out of left field, despite like the lawsuits and everything. Again, lawsuits are lawsuits to me. So I just didn't understand where this was coming from,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so in excuse me, reading this, it says Diddy is being investigated by multiple agencies for alleged sex trafficking and sexual assault. So I think, you know, the lawsuits that have come out, namely mm-hmm. from Cassie and from this Rodney guy,
mm-hmm.
have outlined detailed ways in which Diddy is trafficking sex workers.
That's right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And that's I think where it because I think there's so much details in the operation is in like how he's doing this. I think that's probably, you know what, this is all speculation to me. To be honest, I don't know. I personally need a little bit more concrete things because
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
this is like to me right now just he said she said.
That's right. Yeah.
And like for me, Cassie was like a viable witness because we saw
right?
Diddy with Cassie for 10 years.
Saw
Diddy, Cassie walking around like a pet
right?
for 10 years. Some of the things that Rod has said that's related to trafficking that, you know, people are talking about why they're possible. This is all hearsay, but like some, this is just what's circulating in the celebrity news world is, yes, I first mentioned the sex trafficking,
mm-hmm.
which if he's moving hookers around, okay, that's technically legally, you know, sex trafficking, as well as the drugging of sex workers or whoever he has, whatever paid hooker he has,
mm-hmm.
that's another thing that is considered in a trafficking thing. And another thing is he's trafficking potentially drugs in that he has people who works for him, whether it was the Rodney, that producer guy, Rodney,
mm-hmm.
or his kept women, Young Miami came up,
mm-hmm.
and other names that we're familiar with, that these women that he supposedly dates, Lil Rod says they are actually paid prostitutes. Okay. That, you know, by the dictionary term, I can go with that. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because just like Cassie had like a 200,000 or 250,000 payroll, you're with the man because he's paying you. You're a prostitute.
Well,
but I know. There's a fine line.
No,
actually, you know,
she called. No, not with her. Not with Young Miami. She called herself a whore.
She's proud. She. Yeah,
okay.
I saw the clip. Like
so, she went on Big Breakfast Club and called herself a whore. So
it wasn't Breakfast Club. It was what's his name? Hollywood Unlocked with, what's his name?
Okay, oh, Jason Lee. That's right.
Jason Lee, my bad.
But Jason Lee's platform is so huge, you're going to go on there and call yourself a whore? For real?
Yeah, so
okay.
There is some, that's the difference between.
Obviously you're a whore if you're sticking around for $200,000 a month.
Yeah, so
high-priced whore. You know what I'm saying? So that's why, you know, I just want to say something about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
When I heard that she was getting $200,000 from Diddy, I said there's way more than her being a whore. It's way more that she's doing.
Yeah, it's too much. It's like you're paying. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Diddy doesn't need to pay for horse. He doesn't need to.
Good point.
He really doesn't need to. Okay. Mm-hmm. If he can hold down people like Cassie for 10 years, he knows how to find horse. He knows how to find people that he, you know, can use. So he doesn't need to pay $200,000. So miss me with it. I knew right then you have something to do with this trafficking. You have something to do where you're bringing bodies to him. That's why you're making $200,000 a year. Or sorry, a month, not even a year, a month. So, and she was with him for a while. So I already knew from get-go. But yeah, not to interrupt you, but I wanted to mention that because there's no way that Diddy would actually pay her. I want to say her because... look at Diddy's track record. Young Miami doesn't fit it. Okay? If you look at all the women that Diddy was with prior to her, she didn't hit the mark. And at the time, I was thinking maybe Diddy wants something different. He's trying to flip it up or switch it up, whatever. Mm-hmm. Maybe she has some appeal. But then when I heard he's paying you $200,000 a month, I said, no, you're helping to pimp out. You're helping to traffic. So that's allegedly, we're still trying to find out, but Young Miami was right throughout that case that Rod has against Diddy right now. Throughout that case.
She's detailed mostly in the carrying drugs for Diddy. Again, which would explain the high, hefty amount that he's paying her off monthly, right? So... going back to, this is where I'm coming from is like, why did this bureau get so like violently, involved? Aggressive. That's the word. Aggressive. Why were they so aggressive in this investigation where they tear up his home? They put handcuffs on the people who were in the home, which the adults in the home, which were his sons, and maybe even him, right? I believe. And I found out that they weren't under arrest or anything. That's just protocol, I guess, when these investigations happen. So it probably stops the people from going in to hide or do whatever it is they want to do, like, right? As they're trying to execute their search warrant in the home. Which, you know, I it was just really, to me personally, Diddy, I'm sure Diddy clearly has done some dark stuff. Like, that's not in question. That's like, I'm not questioning that at all. That's clear. But I just like, a lot of people with power, a lot of men with power do this. A lot of men with power have hookers and drugs and all these things. So like, where is all this where is this aggressiveness coming from?
I'll tell you. So, because... looking at this whole situation, when I found out that Diddy's home was raided, I said, oh, okay, that makes sense. And I'll tell you why. First, Rod, in his complaint, in his lawsuit, he mentioned that Diddy had cameras in every room of his house. So there are people who have attended Diddy's house, did not know there were cameras, carried on with nefarious things, are now on camera, and now he has a way to bribe them to extort them to get them to do what he wants them to do. So when Rod, he blew the whistle on that, and all of those people had to start wondering to themselves, and Diddy has, you know, rubbed shoulders with very high-powered people. You know, he's had judges lined pockets for judges and prosecutors and all the rest. We even see in Cassie's case that she said he paid off a hotel, which is taking security footage. He paid off a whole hotel for their security footage.
Yeah.
Okay. That was so crazy. This is nuts. What we're talking here. This is next level type of shit we're talking here. So when the people found out that Diddy would possibly, I went to Diddy's house and did all this nasty shit. I could have possibly been on camera. He could have a tape of me. These people came out the woodworks and said, oh, hell to the no. this Negro is not bringing us all down. And I think that this raid was so that they could access the information and delete or somehow retrieve the information out of Diddy's hands so he could no longer be able to hurt the people that are higher up. Or
kind of like Jeffrey S. Epstein. That was his thing.
Those higher people don't want it to be known. Okay?
Yeah, of course not.
What's his name?
Meek Mills, yeah.
Meek Mills. He's under so much fire right now for being Diddy's girlfriend, okay? Everybody's saying that he's his girlfriend and he was doing all sorts of things with Diddy and all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. People are coming out from the woodworks with these allegations towards Diddy. And to be quite honest, not everybody's wrong. So yeah, the people who are really afraid of information being leaked or getting out into the wrong hands, you know, and becoming, you know, public knowledge, they wanted to retrieve the information. So therefore, what do? We raid his house.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a good theory. That's a good theory.
And not only do we raid his house, but we try to get him and his family in a position where they can't combat any of the claims that are brought against them, you know? And so you steer the direction to Diddy and his family and less on the people who are on those videotapes.
Mm, yeah.
Okay. So I think that, you know, Cassie didn't just bust down the door. Okay. The floodgates opened up and now hear everybody and their mother. And there are people in Hollywood who, like Stevie J, we've all had speculation that Stevie J was maybe, you know, some sort of homosexual or he was bisexual or whatever. And now it's all coming to light. Stevie J's name is brought right throughout that. Meek Mills is brought, what is it? Downey Jr., his name right throughout it. So these people are all, if you notice.
Oh, yeah, Cuba Jr.
Right. So if you notice, they're all black men. But Diddy had more than just black men at those parties.
Okay.
Let's just call it a buck. So those high-powered people are making sure that whatever information that they want to be kept secret is kept secret. And I said before, the only way that Diddy is ever going to stop is if he's in a jail. Okay? He needs to be underneath a jail at this point. Okay? Now his sons are being handcuffed. This man even had the nerve to bring his adult sons down this rabbit hole of sin. Okay? And so, to be quite honest, I when I heard that this happened, it didn't surprise me. Okay? When you have the type of people that Diddy has, you know, behind him, Diddy thought he had too much damn power. Let's just call it a buck. Okay? The white people made him think that he was more powerful than he was. And the second that he stepped out of line, now look.
Yeah, so that was another thing I had in my notes. It's like, it's the Diageo case. Remember, he went after Diageo earlier this, well, like last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, actually not last year. They said May, the lawsuit was filed in May 2022. In against them, like for his Ciroc brand and De Leon tequila, and then after when Cassie, it's so crazy. The Cassie thing feels like it was just yesterday, but it was November. And so after the Cassie thing, you remember he was trying to clean up his business because he needed to protect his assets. So he dropped the lawsuit against Ciroc, or Diageo in January 2024, right? And so, but who knows? Diageo, remember this is a global company.
Thank you.
So I was like, is Diageo like saying you're wretch you?
Right.
You tried to ruin our legacy.
Watch me now.
Right. So I think there's a lot of things, but here's kind of how, again, Diddy is clearly a bad person. I'm not caping for Diddy, but I have a huge problem with this in the double standard. Cause really, as a rich, powerful man, he is not the only man doing this. If you're working with sex workers, these are consenting adults. Like the stuff that he did to the things that he's been accused of in the lawsuits, yes, those are bad things. And we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Cassie got all the justice she could get. based on the statutes of limitation. And Lil Rod, I don't know. I think, to me, Lil Rod is a little sketchy to me. I'll be honest. But that's my point of view. But we'll see. Again, if he did those things or whatever, then retribution, whatever that means, should happen. And a question I have is, if Diddy paid Lil Rod, right? Like, so the issue, Lil Rod was pissed at Diddy because he worked heavily on this last album that Diddy did, which was a very beautiful album, actually. Mm-hmm. And his complaint was Diddy didn't pay him. And I hope, you know, is Diddy continuing with his bad business behaviors with his artists? If he paid this man whatever they agreed or whatever was owed to this person, would this lawsuit have come about?
No. And I'll tell you why. Because he would have blackmailed Diddy.
Well, that's not good, though.
No, it's not. But neither is knowing that Diddy is... You know what really gets me is that all of flipping Hollywood knew what Diddy was about.
That's what bothered me.
Everybody and their mother knew what Diddy was about.
Here's
so
my pet peeve.
Why would you go and work with him?
Right, but here's my pet peeve. Yeah, like, because he's known for bad business. Forget about all the freaky shit.
Yeah,
business-wise, like, his artists, money has been a big issue with the artists that have worked with him, right? So that was already a red flag already, right? But here's another thing, you bring up a point that's pissing me off with this whole thing, is that people coming out with their Diddy sexual inappropriateness stories now.
Yeah, everybody's on the bandwagon now.
No, don't be on the bandwagon now.
Well, yes. Everybody now. Mm-hmm.
No, that's I don't like that. I'm sorry. Cause
I don't like it either. I don't like it either.
You know, there's a black, I call it hip hop, but there's a black culture writer named Tory. He works at the Griot now. He has his own podcast, but he was a Rolling Stone writer. Rolling Stone writer is very close to every, and he covered the hip hop stories at Rolling Stone. He might have even been at a Vibe, but whatever. Big hip hop culture writer, Tory. And he was on the Joy Reid show outlining a story for a family member of his. I'm assuming it's like a younger cousin or nephew, but who knows? He says a male family member. He called Diddy and asked for a hookup for his male family member to get an internship. And Diddy was like, yeah, cool. Then the boy, 4 months later, he left the internship, right? And he never knew. He was like, what the heck? He asked the boy. The boy never said nothing. Like, he never told Tory why the internship ended so early. And it wasn't until a little bit later, a couple years later, where the person told Tory that Diddy had told him, the intern, the young man, to come over to his house and sleep with him or something to that
right?
effect. Something insinuating some type of something at his house. And the guy said no, and that's when the internship ended, and it was like Diddy was like, cut him off or whatever. So I'm like, again, this story would have been much more powerful.
Right?
When Tory was big in the culture, that could have been maybe more than 10 years. 10 plus years ago this happened. So, and again, maybe because we did find out from Cassie's story that Diddy is actually scary. Like, as much as we took him as a joke.
Right.
He's actually a scary, like, he's as bad as scary as Suge Knight in different ways.
Wow. Right?
And so maybe, I don't know if that's why, but like, I'm sorry, I can't, like, I'm like, what is that, what am I supposed to do with that? Me personally.
And that's how I feel about Rod. That's how I feel about, you know, him coming out now. And here's the thing, is that he would not have said anything if he got paid.
He got paid.
Okay.
That's another thing.
And so let's just, like you said, let's put the nastiness aside from the business aspect,
yes.
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You literally just did this album. Diddy has been doing music for more than 30 years.
About 30 almost. Years. Yeah, more than
okay?
30 years.
So that means to say you have enough time to see how he treated other people in other business. You've heard the rumors. You've seen it. You are in the industry. So you know. You hear the whispers. So miss me with the bullshit. You went along thinking that, oh, you're going to get all this notoriety. You're willing to sell your soul to Diddy. Okay. And what happened was you got used, abused, dash way, and you didn't even get paid for it. And so now you're coming out with all of your, you know, my thing is, what made you say to yourself, let me start recording? Let me start pulling evidence together. Why did you do that? You did that because you felt used and abused and that you weren't going to get paid for what you did. That's why you started to collect information. That's why you started to access videos or taking videos or whatever you were doing. You did that so that you had something to call him out on so that you could blackmail him. That was the straight truth. But you saw that Diddy was very powerful, and the only time to stop Diddy is if you go to the public. That's how you stop him, is you expose him. So you had to go all in. Okay, you had to go all in. You probably even had to go under protective custody or something, because, like, Diddy is crazy. He's crazy. He blew up a flipping car outside of Kid Cudi's house. So who are you to him? He's been doing this longer than you've been doing it. So trust me, so this is why you had to go that length. And once you did, you set off an alarm for all those people who ever went to Diddy's house, not knowing if they're on camera, not knowing. And those who do know they're on camera no longer want to be, you know, a slave to Diddy when it pleases him. So, everybody and their mother, okay, was wanting to get their hands on those tapes. So, yeah, I can see why the National Guard had to come in. I see why, you know, everybody and their mother was storming his damn houses, okay? I understand why. And everybody wants to take him down now. But here's the thing, in order for them to put this man in jail, they had to come up with something other than adults having sex. So trafficking, the drug trafficking, one of his mules by the name of Brandon Paul was arrested, okay, at the Florida airport. And so... Yep. And we see many, many pictures and times where him and Diddy are best of buddies in pictures and things. So we can see that he was his mule and he got caught and he sang like a canary. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so most people will, because he's the biggest menace. Right. And so I think that they have to put those type of charges on Diddy to really get him put into jail. Because, you know, sex trafficking, especially of minors, and this is all allegedly, I'm going to say allegedly, yeah, at least three times, okay? We don't know for sure, but I'm telling you right now, they're not going in to raid your house if they don't have something.
Yes. Yeah.
They have to have something for a judge to sign off, right? First of all, they have to find a judge that is not getting his pockets laced by Diddy, okay? And then once they find that judge, they have to get him to sign off on raiding this man's multiple properties, not just one, multiple properties. So, yeah, there has to be some factual stuff behind this. And I think between Cassie and Rod, they have all the facts. So I'm telling everybody out there, be prepared. Be prepared that he will go to jail. He will go to jail because he is now a sacrifice for the bigger heads above.
To be honest, that's what it looks like. Because this is all seemed very aggressive. I was like, what the
fuck? Yeah, they're going to sacrifice him because you're too messy now, Diddy. You're too messy now. You can't have judges that you're lining pockets and police officers and hotels and all sorts of people that you're like private investigate. Like you're so deep in it.
He definitely got a little. He got
carried away with it.
Based on the stories, he was egregious.
You're the lamb. Now you're the sacrifice, Diddy. And trust me, they'll sacrifice you before they sacrifice themselves. And this raid showed me that once Rod said what he said, everybody was like, we need those tapes. We need those tapes. We need to make sure those tapes don't see the light of day. Okay? So, you know, here's the thing. Diddy, I don't feel bad for you.
No.
You know, and I don't feel bad for your sons, because I've learned in the last, you know, a few days now that his son, Justin, has been very involved with the sex trafficking.
Yeah,
you know,
that his father,
pulled them in, but they stayed in. You know, like, these are not little boys that we're talking about here. We're talking about 25, 30. They stayed in. So, you know, especially, you know, with Justin, I know that his mother, her head is probably turning, because she said, Diddy, I'm fighting for my son. I don't care what happens to you. When he was caught driving drunk, okay, she said it then. She said, I don't care what happens to you, Diddy. I'm going to protect my son. And it's sad to see that he pulled his kids into this. And I really think that Diddy is going down. Just give it time. They're making a case that is not so air. It's not just about airtight, but it's about how much time can we get him. But I will say this. Diddy is the type of person where he will off himself before he goes to jail.
You think
that's,
so?
Yep. That's the type of person he is. Because that type of power, to fall that far from that type of power, to know that you're going to go to jail, to know...
I don't see that, but, like, of course, that's, you can have that opinion. But I also am thinking of...
Because that would be his last moment of power. Like, you ain't putting me in no jail. Yeah.
I don't know.
So, I don't think that's the way to go. I think you should do your time.
Yeah, with all of this, you know, I'm just paying for his two little girls.
Right.
Kim Porter's daughters, which is his twins who don't have a mother, and he's their only parent. I'm hoping their older brother, which is Quincy, and I think he does kind of play that father figure for them anyway, is wrapping them up. I think I saw there's pictures actually out with his twins. So he's leaning on the pictures of his kids and stuff right now to kind of soften the blow. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I mean, he was out with them recently. I saw photos.
Right.
And he's being a dad right now until, I guess, the shit hits the fan.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's starting to hit the fan. You weren't as powerful as you thought, did he? You know what I mean? And I think that was his biggest downfall, is for so long, he got away with it. And what I want to do to end off my view on this Diddy situation is, Hollywood, you should be ashamed of yourself. Like, to be honest, all those people that are in Hollywood, I feel like you should be ashamed of yourself, because how the hell do you allow this? You attended the parties. You see the people. You're allowed. There's been so many people in the last 20-odd years that has seen what Diddy has done and let it be. Didn't say a word. I understand he's dangerous, but right is right and wrong is wrong. You know what I mean? So, Diddy, you soon find a comfortable place underneath the jail, because they're coming for you, Diddy. You did too much. You're too damn messy, okay? And, you know, the higher-ups, the ones that you're the lap dog for, yeah, they're coming for you, because you're not going to ruin who they are. So, but anyhow, you know what? All in all, you know, we try to end our episodes positively. But after Diddy, you know what's positive is that it's all coming to light. Everything is surfacing.
Yeah.
You know? And like you said earlier in the episode, that what is done in the dark will always come to the light. So there's a huge light shining on this. And
spotlight.
Step on this spotlight in the middle. You understand? And I'm glad that the whole entertainment industry on a whole is being shook up. It's being shook up. All of the predators are being outed. You know, a year of truth. It's a year of truth. And so with that being said, we do hope that your hearts and minds were activated on this week's show. So whether you lead with your heart or your mind, please stay passionate and thoughtful. We'll talk to you real soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.